This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, fellow redeemed. Let us pray. O Father, with the eternal Son and Holy Spirit ever one, vouchsafe to bring us by thy grace to see thy glory face to face. Amen. People at work are guilty of this. Students in the classroom can be guilty of this. Some of us may be guilty of this during the homily this morning. What am I talking about? I'm moving here. Well, what I'm talking about, other than that I'm moving here, is this: daydreaming. Letting our minds wander off onto something else instead of focusing on what they are supposed to be focused on. The command, pay attention, could probably occur many times a day for us, and usually when that's spoken to us, it's for our own good. When it comes to Holy Scripture, far too often our minds like to daydream. We get focused on other things and we forget about Scripture and the Bible at times because we're so consumed with those other things, forgetting about what's truly important and needed in our life. It's very easy to do, but it's also very dangerous for our soul. And so this morning, our God gives us very sound advice through the inspired pen of St. Peter. His message is, pay attention. And the reason he says pay attention is because here you see Christ's glory. And not only that, but just as equally important, this is God's, not Peter's, this is God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at the 16th verse. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Did God really say that was the first attack by the devil on God's word in Eden, an attack that caused Eve to then doubt God's word, his promises, and his love? It's such a great attack that he uses it even to this day. The devil was using this very attack at the time Peter's writing this section of Scripture, as the devil was trying to attack the credibility of St. Peter and the other apostles, but even the Old Testament prophets. The devil had convinced some at this time of St. Peter that Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God. He wasn't the promised Savior of the world. He hadn't risen from the dead. He wasn't going to come back again, so it didn't matter what they believed or how they lived their life. The miracles, the resurrection, the passages and the teachings of Jesus being the true Son of God, they were all lies. They were myths that St. Peter and the other apostles created, probably to make money. But St. Peter refuted those attacks. He said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received glory and honor from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." As we heard Wednesday, Jesus allowed Peter, James, and John to come up on the mountain and to see him in all his glory, to see him transfigured before their very eyes. Peter, James, and John then were eyewitnesses. But they were more than that. They were also ear witnesses. They were ear witnesses to the voice of God the Father, who showed his love and approval for his only begotten Son. What a faith-strengthening event these men had, something that they would desperately need. Because as we heard on Wednesday, they would then walk down that Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and then they would watch him walk up that other mountain, Mount Calvary. Faith-strengthening. Isn't that something that you and I need every single day? Because some days, more than others, but some days it is just really hard being a Christian. Just like St. Peter, we have doubters all around us. We have a sinful nature that likes to doubt God's word and his promises and his love for us. Unlike St. Peter, we don't get to see Jesus with our physical eyes. And so it makes it arguably a little bit easier to doubt what God says in his promises. The Lord speaking in Hebrews says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we hear that, and then we go through the day, and we don't get to see God physically. And then we go through something, and we struggle through something, and the devil comes along, and he likes to whisper in our ear something that's going to get us to doubt God's word. Where's this God who says to you, I'm in control of everything? We read in the pages of Scripture that Jesus raised a number of people from the dead. And the devil shows up and he says, well, where was Jesus when your loved one died? We read in the Gospels that Jesus healed many people of their diseases, and the devil comes along and he says, why isn't this Jesus doing anything for your disease? Devil's great at what he does. And what he wants to do is he wants you and me, he wants us to doubt God's love, his word, and his promises for us. And so then we go through that thing that's challenging or a struggle for us, and we start to fall for that temptation, don't we? We start to say, you know, God, I would really trust you like you asked me to do. I won't doubt you if I could just see you right now. Just give me a little something, just this one time. That's all I need. I won't ask again. No more doubts. I'll always trust you. Just give me a little glimpse of your power and glory. But do we realize at those times that God is right there? He's right there at that moment, staring back at us in the face. He's right there with us. But he's not going to turn around and all of a sudden come up with some magic light switch he turns on and now, ooh, we get to see him physically. That's not how it works this side of heaven. But that's also no reason for you and for me to despair. No, we may not see God with our physical eyes this side of heaven. But you and I, we can see God on the pages of Holy Scripture with our eyes of faith. Through the gospel writers, like we did on Wednesday, we get to go with Peter, James, and John up onto that Mount of Transfiguration, and there we get to see Jesus in all his glory. And then we return to the Bible, and then we get to go with Jesus as he goes up to that other mountain, not to see him in all his glory, but rather bloodied and beaten and nailed to a tree. There we go, and we don't hear God the Father speak well of his Son. There we go and see God the Father turn his back on his only begotten Son. We join Jesus on that other mountain where he allowed God the Father to punish him for the sins of the world. Every one of our sins, when you and I doubt God and his promises, where we don't put our faith in trust and we make it conditional with him doing something for us, all of those he paid for. Sins we could never have paid for unless we would have done it with an eternal punishment in the fires of hell. But we return again to Scripture, and then what do we see? We see that God the Father accepted that payment for our sins. It was made good because there on the pages of Scripture, we see a glorified and we see a risen Jesus. And you can believe these words in this book. You know why? Because God says you can. What does he say through Peter? He says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible isn't something that's man-made. It's not human. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of these writers, the very thoughts and words they were to write. This is God's word, not Peter's. It's God's word. All true, all reliable, no errors. What did St. Paul say to St. Timothy? He said, all Scripture is God-breathed. And since these are God's words here, that means you can trust them. That means this morning, as you sit here, or any morning, or any time of the day, when God comes and says that he has forgiven every single one of your sins, no matter whatever you have done, because Jesus lived and then died for you, you can believe him. It means that when God says that only faith in Jesus as the promised Savior is your only way that you need to go to heaven and can go to heaven, you can believe him. It means that when God says he will never leave nor forsake his children, and that he will somehow use all things that happen to us for our eternal good, you can believe him. Whatever God says in his book, whatever promise he has made to you here in his word, you can believe him. And see, that's why we need to pay attention, as Peter says here. Pay attention by making God's word part of our daily life. My friends, we need to pay attention, because here is where you encounter the glory of God with your eyes of faith. And because here in this book is not St. Peter's word, it's not Schmidt's word, it's not Chappie D's word, it's God's word. Pay attention, because here in this book is where God can make your good days great. Here is where he can make your bad days better. Here's where he can make your laughs more enjoyable, your pain more bearable, your trust and your hope and your faith in him stronger. Here on these very pages is where you can find the, if I may, Kleenex to dry every one of your tears. And then, by the grace of God, one day you will see Jesus in all his glory when he returns on the last day. Amen.